sure he has goodies in store for you. Praise the Lord. We started a new month and we have a new series. And the series that Pastor mentioned to us for this month is Make Room for More. Can you tell your neighbor, make room for more? I hope you like the person you are seated beside, because I'm going to be telling you to preach to them this morning. Can you tell them again, make room for more? There's still space for more. God has something in store for us. He has bigger, better in store for us. But we need to make room for it. Amen? And I know some people will say, I'm okay, I'm satisfied. There's no need for more. I'm just okay. I'm just very calm like that. I don't like too much trouble. Just me and my beloved self or my family. I don't need more. Why? I don't need more. I guess that's why Pastor says we are praying for 10 hours. I'm like, I don't need more. I'm okay the way I am. But there's more that God wants to do. There is more he wants you to become. There is more he wants to give you. But you need to participate with him. You need to be willing first. He won't force it on you. You have to first be willing. And you have to cooperate with the assignment he has. I just want to establish us this morning or to this afternoon to open our eyes to what God has in store. I'm sure as I'm ministering, I believe that the Lord God will minister to you as well. Maybe he will remind you of some of the things he has told you before. Maybe a prophecy that you had received, something you have received in your prayer time and you have buried, maybe it has tarried for some time. I want you to take this message as an awakening for that expectation, because the Lord God will do it, and he will do it speedily, sooner than you can imagine. So you have to get ready. You have to get ready. You have to get ready. The way God created, you know, us and even creation, you can tell that his mindset is always growth, is more, is expansion. If you think about it, when he created Adam, he created him alone, and he created his wife, Eve, right? And they just multiplied. Scriptures tells us in Genesis 1:28, he said he blessed them. He blessed them. He created them in his image and his likeness. Then he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion. And from those two people, how many billion do we have now? Right? And counting, because this moment, another person is being born. Right? Sadly, some people die, but I mean, we are just, the birth rate is more than the death rate. And you can tell that we are having dominion. We are gaining grounds. That has always been his plan. That we grow, that we mature, that we take more grounds, that we have dominion. So it's not okay for you to be stagnant. Can you tell your neighbor? It is not okay for you to be stagnant. It's not okay for you to remain on the same spot. You are growing this season. You are expanding this season. And I'm sure when a baby is born, I'm sure by the time I see Fike now, I won't recognize her from when she was born. But how God designed it is that day by day, growing, eating, growing, expanding. Then very soon she will start crawling, then walking. Then she will grow to become a woman. Then she will multiply. Hallelujah. That is God's plan. That is God's plan, to grow, to develop, to increase. So I start this morning by telling you that God created you to be more. God created you to grow. And let us see this promise in Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 to 3. This is the promise that God gave Abraham. And we are children of Abraham, right? If you are Christ, you are Abraham's. If you are of Christ, you're of Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. So this is what he told Abraham. This was a promise he gave to him. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's I'm not done reading verse 1. From your father's house to a land I will show you. Verse 2 says, I will make you a great nation. Someone say one. I will bless you. Two. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Four. Let's go to verse 3. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. That is not anybody's portion. Amen. Curses are not our portion. The next line says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That speaks of God's plan. To bless you, to increase you, but not just for yourself, for your pocket, for your immediate family, but that nations of the world, your community, those around you will be blessed. So I believe it's in King James Version that says, and you will be a blessing. So you will be blessed, but you will also be a blessing. That is God's plan. And you cannot be a blessing if you think so little, or you have a little mindset that's just about me. It's just only about me. As far as I eat breakfast, as far as I'm good. That's not God's plan. I also wrote here that I mentioned God created you to be more. He promised you to be more. We see the promise in the word of God. He also commanded you. I said that scripture in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 when he created Adam, mankind. And he said, be fruitful, multiply. He commanded you. He didn't say, perhaps you'll be fruitful. He didn't say, maybe if you feel like you'll be fruitful. So if you are not fruitful, if you are not growing, if you are not expanding, that is not the will of God. And we really do not have any option but to grow. Because without, like, typically a child, even when a child is being formed in the womb, the child is growing with your permission or not. The child is growing. That is how life is. And the thing is, everybody else is growing. So if you decide to be stagnant, if you are not on purpose partnering with God for your more, for your increase, you realize that the people you started with, you'll be behind because they will have moved ahead, even though you were stagnant. And this is not saying I'm comparing you with someone else. I'm just saying this to spur you to good works. To spur you to say, God created you for more. He commanded you for more. He put the capacity for more. And so you have to go for it. In fact, if you do not grow, even inflation too, inflation too is growing. Has anyone figured that out? So you have to grow. You don't have any choice but to grow. Otherwise, you'll be behind. If I asked anyone here, do you want to go behind? Do you want to fall back? Do you want to be less than you were? Do you want to be a lesser? You will say no. If I say, do you want to be stagnant? Are you okay where you are? Some people may say, yeah, I'm fine. I'm wealthy. I have, my family's okay. I don't want more money, more trouble, so I don't want more responsibility, more trouble. I'm just okay where I am. But that is a danger. If you stay where you are, you will be behind eventually. So you have to keep moving. Keep moving, becoming a better version of yourself, preparing for more that God has in store for you. And the reason why you need to prepare is because you never know when the opportunity will show up. You never know. In the most unlikely places, they'll show up. And that will just be the seed of a new beginning for your life. You need to be prepared. I believe I'm saying this prophetically. Be prepared. What God has told you, be prepared. God is coming. He's coming. It may seem like he has delayed, but the bigger and better is here. And so you need to make room for what God has in store for you. You need to prepare. Sister Bola that came to talk about, you know, her nose growing. That's part of preparing for the baby. Maybe the baby needed more oxygen. I don't know. But God knows how her body prepares for the baby that is coming. Her body, every woman needs to prepare. As soon as the seed is growing, she just keeps, the body knows what to do. That is God's plan. Can someone say that is God's plan? So you need to keep increasing. Nature itself requires us to go. Environment requires us to go. Now, in what areas? So do we just grow Because not every growth is good. You know, there are some bad growths that we need to cut off. Amen. So we grow only the good things in us, good character, amen, more resources, more power, more influence, amen. God wants us to increase in all dimensions, all good dimensions, in a good way. Let us read Luke chapter 2 from verse 40 and verse 52. Luke chapter 2, 40 and 52. And this was said of John the Baptist, and this is something that you can also declare over your life and declare over your children. This was said concerning Jesus. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. If we look at that scripture, I heard this by a certain man of God. I said, this is so profound. Jesus increased in wisdom. He increased mentally. He increased in stature, physically. He increased in favor with God and men, in his spiritual walk with the Lord, in his association with men. So it's in all dimensions. We grow deeper in our walk with the Lord. We gain greater heights in our walk with him. We also become better as we're relating with people. We need more character. We need more fruit of the Spirit in display. You also grow in your mind. You grow in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding, in the value you offer at your workplace, in your business, in ministry. How can I do better? That should be the question you can ask yourself. In what area? Because a lot of people set goals for the year. You say, okay, I want to buy this, I want to buy that, I want to buy this, I want to buy that. By the end of this year, I want this amount in my bank account. I want to have paid this off. I want to have done this. I want to have accomplished this. But hardly do you ever hear people's growth goals. I want to be kinder this year. I want to be more intentional this year. I want to give more this year. I want to give more this year. Can I say it again? This is a season where we're receiving our giving statements and we're filing taxes. We can review our lives. Where have our money, where has all the dollars been going? Where have we been spending it? I wish we can get a statement from Shein or get a statement from Amazon and maybe compare it and say, hey, my giving, is it commensurate to this, right? Or your favorite online store. It might even be Starbucks or McDonald's. I wish we could get a set. You can just go to your account and just do a download. You'll be amazed the amount that those daily commitments, what they have amassed, what they have, become. We need to constantly be growing. We need to review our lives and prepare for more that God has in store for us. Amen. Our preparedness tells God that we are ready for more. Our preparedness tells God that we are willing to participate. We are ready to do away with the old. We are ready to do away with the bad habits. And we are ready to take on more responsibility. I mentioned also about the pregnant woman, how her body adjusts to the new life that is coming. Our capacity needs to increase in order to take on more. The other time I preached about the woman whose husband died. And she went to the prophet to say, my husband was owing money and the debtors are coming. They're coming for my children. I don't know what to do. Perhaps she was hoping that the master will give her some money. But he asked her, what do you have in your house? And she says, I have a little jar of oil. I have a little oil. And then he says, go around and borrow vessels. Borrow vessels, not a few. He said, don't borrow few vessels, borrow a lot. Scripture doesn't really say how many jars she borrowed, how many vessels she borrowed. But the miracle happened as she was pouring the oil, and each of those jars were filled. And then the prophet told her go sell, and then pay the debtors the amount you're owing. If she brought two jars, how many jars of oil will she have at the end? If she brought 50, how many will she have? If she brought 100, how many? If she brought 1,000, how many? At least, even if she bought 100 and God said, you are becoming too greedy, and it stops at 999, at least she will have reached the capacity, because she had the capacity for it. Another scripture that I saw someone open my eyes to it, when Jesus told the disciples, remember the miracle, the first miracle he performed in the wedding at Cana in Galilee? He told them, fill the jars. He never told them a number. He didn't say, fill 5 jars. He told them, fill the... Can we see that scripture? Can we see that scripture? I believe it might be in John chapter 2. It says, fill it. Fill it. That was capacity. So sometimes we are waiting for God, but a lot of times he's waiting for us to be ready. Somebody gave an explanation, to find that scripture, someone gave an explanation that I saw on Instagram lately, and the person was saying that you need to be consistent and you need to be diligent in your assignment, because sometimes when the opportunity comes, it will be too late to prepare. It will be too late to do what you need to do. What she now, the next example she gave, that it was also a wake-up call to me. She was like, have you noticed that there are some viral videos you will see? Right, you get so excited about it, but then you go to the person who posted it, and then you don't see anything. Do you know that was a lost opportunity? Because the person never knew that that video would go viral, people would be looking for them, but they were just maybe doing their own thing. Some people catch on later when they realize, oh, you need to go, and they put more content on there, and this applies to every, not only, I don't, like, if you're not on social media, that's fine. I'm just saying life generally. Now, if someone comes to you and tell you, God asked me to bless you and pay all your debt, do you know how much it is? To every cent, to every dollar. Are you prepared to take that detail? Are you prepared to have that capacity to say, okay, this is how much I will need? Okay, someone says, I want to sponsor your business. I don't have much. I want to give you something. But give me a proposal. In the next 2-3 days, I'm traveling out of the country. Or in the next moment. Or you've been telling me about that particular thing that you want to start. And I have someone here who is interested. And you begin to stutter. And you begin to say, oh, I'll call you later and everything. That's a lost opportunity. And a lot of times, you never get that same opportunity to make that first impression, to make that strong first impression. A lot of times, some people, they will say, I can do it. They give you all the things. Then they go back. Because that first, they were ready for the moment. They were ready to give that pitch. They were ready. There have been some business people that I've seen, they will say they didn't have that much in their stock. They had to hurry up to meet that expectation. But they were ready in the moment. They already had the process in line. They just needed the money. They just needed one or two things together. They had their speech. They had a convincing statement such that when the person spoke to them, they were able to deliver immediately. Even with ministry, we need to stay ready. Because you just never know that person that needs a word that will be the answer. The Bible says that let your grace, your speech be seasoned with grace. And you should have an answer to answer anyone. You may not have all the answers, but have that answer. But it takes a willing heart. It says, I want to be a blessing to someone today. Remember that promise that God told Abraham. He says, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. He said, I will be a blessing today. God, I'll be a blessing today. On this day, it's a church day, I've met people, I'll be a blessing today. By my words, by my smile, by my hug, I will be a blessing to someone today. That scripture, verse 7, John chapter 2, verse 7, Jesus told them, fill the water pot with water. And they filled them up to the brim. If they brought more, twice as much, that would be filled. And they will serve. They will even have enough for the wedding, maybe more to sell to people who want to buy. My point here is, your capacity sometimes can be your limit. And so you need to ask the Lord and stretch yourself to have a bigger capacity so you can take on more. Bigger capacity for more. Bigger capacity for more. One time the Lord told me, he says, I'm more interested in the person that you are becoming than the things you want to get. Because I had things. I still have things I'm trusting him for. And that morning, I'll never forget, he told me, I'm interested more in the person you are becoming than in the things you get. Because your character will help you multiply, keep, and transform whatever opportunity you get, or whatever gift you get. Without that character, it will be a loss. How many people win the lottery and are millionaires today? So a prepared person, a prepared vessel, is going to maximize the gift and the opportunity that comes to him. And that has stuck with me. I'm always thinking, how can I be better? Because God is more interested. The thing is, once you become that thing, for example, once you are wealthy in your thinking, you will have it in your hand because you are already that thing. Once you are transformed already, you'll have it. And scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing will be added. You know, God is interested in lifting us. He's expecting us to grow to that place of maturity so that we can handle those things. If, for example, I throw a coin up, it will come down. Sudden success sometimes is not automatic, or it's not equal to lifetime success. Sudden success is not always equal to lifetime success. Someone who has climbed up will be able to stay up. But someone who was thrown up, it's likely that person will come down, except something catches it. So you must be interested in growing, in developing. How can I discipline myself better? How can I become better at my craft? How can I be a better student of the word? How can I be better in prayer? What are my growth goals this year? Should be thinking about that. There's a scripture here that talks about how the kingdom of God is also just buttressing the fact that the kingdom of God is expansive. Well, God is always thinking about growing and increasing. And this scripture is in Luke chapter 13 from 18 to 21. Luke 13, 18 to 21. And it says here that Jesus asks, what is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? I'm reading the NET here. It says, it's like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the wild birds nested its branches. Again, he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all the dough had risen. Again, growth, increase, expansion. And there's some scriptures where Jesus was giving a parable. He gave talents and he expected them to multiply. That one that did not, he was not pleased with it. And there's also another scripture that talked about how Jesus was looking for fruit on a tree and didn't find. Also another one where the gardener was going to cut off the tree, but the master was going to cut off the tree, and then the gardener said, oh, please, give me a moment. I'll put manure around it. And then next year, give it a year. So every year you ought to be growing. Every year you ought to be increasing. Every year you ought to be expanding. Hallelujah. How do I prepare for more? So we have established that more is God's will for us. He created us for more. He commanded us for more. He wants to give us more. We are the ones that need to align ourselves and prepare. The first one is acknowledge what God has given you. In other words, gratitude. And if I were to title this message, it would be make room for more with gratitude. Make room for more. I mean, we talked about other things, but I want to major on gratitude here. Acknowledge God for what you have done. And I believe it's a very, very good practice that we have as a church body, that every first Sunday, we come to say thank you to God. We don't take it for granted. When I was praying, I said that we wake up every morning. It should not be taken for granted. We receive daily blessings. We're able to do things on our own. Because it's common to us. Because we do it with ease, sometimes we fail to realize that it's a miracle. It's a blessing that came from God. Until we cannot do it, then we realize, look at what I've been enjoying. The other day I was down with a cold. And I was like, sickness is bad. Because just to do simple things, I'm like, God, can't remember the last time I took time off work to tell them that I was sick, but I had to. And I was like, wow, I thank God that it did not, some people get those kind of situations, they don't even recover, right? Because they're blood. I just thank God for health. I thank God for sustenance. I thank God for provision. Endless things that God has done for me. You need to acknowledge. There are blessings, many blessings with giving God gratitude, having a mindset of thankfulness, appreciation. What you appreciate becomes bigger and better. Even with our relationship with people, when you tell them thank you, when you behave well, when you tell them kind words, they feel more empowered to do those things, to continue doing them. It's like they just even want you to say it again. And they just want to keep making you happy, keep making you smile. And I'm sure when you give someone something, you go out of your way to give someone something. It doesn't matter how big or how little, but when the person doesn't respond, how do you feel? When the person doesn't say thank you, or they don't count it as anything, they count it as their responsibility. They feel like, you should have done that. You did that last year. Or you gave me a birthday gift last year. Yes, that's what you always do. You always text me on my birthday. You always pray for me on my birthday. And they say, thanks. Just like very, very, you feel like, wow. There have been some times I felt a little bit, this person does not even know how much I... It may not be much, but do you know what was in my account when I bought that for you? It may not have been much to you, but it meant something to me. And why does the scripture say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord? Because God knows where he sent his blessings. Apparently, he knows. He knows who will wake up in the morning. And so when you don't give him thanks and praise, you pretty much commonize what he has done. I say, I'll wake up tomorrow morning. I'll turn off the alarm. Let's not get used to the blessings of God. He's rich in mercy, but that mercy is not cheap. He gives it to us without us even asking. There are many times we get things. We didn't ask for it, but he knew it would bless us. He knew it would benefit us. He was thinking about you. Just this morning, there was something that was on my mind to do. And I've received a caution in my spirit. And the answer came this morning. I was like, God, I was just thinking about that, how I would do it. But how is it that it just happened that I got this accomplished? I tell you, God is thinking about you. And the enemy would like to amplify the things that are not working, to make it seem like he has forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you. So you need to realign yourself to count your blessings. Name them one by one. Say, no. Today, I'm going to sing, you are faithful, you are good. You are good to me. I acknowledge that which you have done. I am alive. I am well. I'm in my right senses. I still know my name. Some people don't know their names anymore. Some people can't tell you the date. I'm not saying that to say that God is not also faithful to them, because I know people experience one thing or the other, and I don't like to. I always caution myself when I'm making these comparisons. But I want you to get the point that you were something before, but you are no longer that thing. The thing before, you're no longer that thing now. The prayer points you had before, you have them in your hand now, and you are on to the next. Can we pause? Can we take a moment to say, thank you, Lord? I just want to acknowledge that you are good. I don't know how all the other things will fall in place, but I know you are thinking of me. I know you are thinking of me. I know you are thinking of me. I choose to focus on the fact that you are faithful, that you are good, that you are kind, and that you are thinking of me. And you are making all things to work together for my good. That is my posture. That is where I choose to stand. That is where I choose to dwell. I choose to dwell in gratitude. I choose to dwell in thanksgiving. That is where I want to be. I want to be focusing on your goodness, because you have been good to me. I pray that the Lord will give us a heart and attitude of gratitude. That always we're like, thank you, Jesus. Always we're like, God, you are good to me. You are kind to me. There are many blessings in gratitude. There's multiplication in gratitude. This was the story I referenced here, the story of Jesus. Maybe we can read that. I think we have more time. Mark chapter 6 from 34 to 44. Mark 6, 34 to 44. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without shepherd. So he began ministering. He began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him. This is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. But Jesus said to them, you feed them. With what? They asked. We'd have to work for a month to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. How much bread do you have? Right? Am I missing one? Okay. How much bread do you have? He asked. Go out and find out. And they came back and reported, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Verse 39. Then Jesus told the disciples to have them sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups. Let's move on to the next verse. Jesus took the 5 loaves. What he had was little compared to what was needed. And he looked to heaven and blessed them. Another version says, I believe it's NIV, says, and he gave thanks. He took those loaves and the 2 fish, looked to heaven, blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. And he also divided the fish for everyone to share. And they ate as much as until they were satisfied. And the Bible tells us that there was even left over after that. Jesus gave us an example here. When it is not enough, thank him for it. Thank him for it. I said it also applies to our relationships as well. We can count the faults of people, but let's be more dedicated to thanking them for that one thing they do that is right. My father once told me, he said, a clock, even a clock that is bad, that the battery is dead, is right at least 2 times a day, a.m. and p.m. let's appreciate that one thing the person does. How they smile, the littlest things. And you will see that as you appreciate those little things, you will have more things to thank them for. And also, more importantly to God. More importantly to God. I don't know about you, but I love to give. I mean, that does not mean that if the Lord inspires my heart to give someone that is not an ungrateful person, I won't. By the grace of God, I will. But it will be what? A sacrifice of, it will be a seed that is like, God, it's because you told me. If you did not tell me, I won't give this person. But there are some people that is just, you love to give to them. You love, because of their attitude, they appreciate it. They love you. They love whatever you give. If it is something as little as bread you give them, the way they would receive it with joy. You always want to see that. I believe that we are all helpers of joy, right? We all want to see people around us happy. And so, because of the smile you see on that person's face, you want to give. There was a day I was going through, I was in downtown. Then I used to go downtown for work. And as I was going, I saw the Disney store, and I was like, let me just get a gift for them. And God was telling me, do you know that's how I'm also thinking about you too? I just want to see you happy. They didn't ask me for it. I just said, I didn't buy that day because of budgetary concerns, but my heart, if I did not have any restriction, if I didn't draw myself back, I would have bought the thing because I just want to see them happy. In fact, yesterday, normally I don't like going with my kids to the store because you end up spending more than you budgeted for. So yesterday I went to the store and I thought of my daughter. Well, forgive me if you hear this message. She's still little. We want to make a commitment not to be talking about them or poopy, but that's my life. I believe that God will give them the grace to be. But maybe I can just ride on it now that she's little. When the older ones, if I've started, maybe I'll just retract the story. But for her, she's good. So I got her something. She likes to open like some surprise things. And I saw how she was the first time I bought it. And I saw it. And I said, okay, I'll buy for her to surprise her. So I bought it for her. And I told her she was misbehaving. I said, I have something for you. If you keep misbehaving, then I will return it. She was like, mommy, don't. So eventually she saw it. I don't know. She found it. And she was so happy. She was excited. I said, you found it, right? She said, yes. That was not the end of the story. She opened it. She was excited. She was like, mommy, thank you so much. And if you see how I was so happy. Until. So there were three things she had to open inside. And I also was excited about it. So I opened one of them. And then, will I say all? Mommy, why did you open it? I wanted to. I said, but there are three there. My mood just changed. And my mood just changed. I was like, look at this person that I'm. I just wanted to share the moment with you. I just wanted to open. I mean, like, she will play with the toys herself. But I was also excited to see there are these surprise things. They are not that expensive. But I was just like, okay, let me just open it just to see. I said, but there are three. You opened two already. And you're happy with the. She said, she was screaming. Eventually, she calmed down. And then she tried to fix one of them. I think it was a crib or a changing table. And she's like, it's not working. I just even asked her. I just turned away. I was like, don't worry. She said, I said, mom, just leave mommy now. I'm not happy. I said, I'm not happy about what you did. I just wanted to share the moment with you. You didn't ask for it. I bought it for you. I just was curious and I opened it. It's not a big deal. Like, I couldn't understand, but of course, I forgive her. She's a child. But is that how we do sometimes? When God wants to share our money with us, that he gave us anyway, we now start calling pastors out on TV. Something you didn't want to do. The thing is that the people that are saying that you should not pay tithe, a lot of them, they don't pay. They cannot even commit to anything. They can't commit to anything. But you look for an excuse not to fellowship with your father, the person who gave you something. And so I was like, and God was like, you know, that's how you people do sometimes too. So just forgive her. You know, you adults to do it. She's a little child. She did it. But you adults to do it like that sometimes. Like, okay, thank you for a preaching point that I have today. So later I helped her to fix the changing table. At first I said I wasn't. I said, no, I'm not happy. I don't like her. I don't like her. But eventually we made up and we're happy. But the thing is, we gravitate more toward people who appreciate the little that we do. When we are full of complaints, it's an irritant. They leave. Like, you don't even appreciate the effort that I make, you know. So there's multiplication. I say that to say there's multiplication. Then there's also the blessing of, another blessing of gratitude is preservation. Preservation. The thing that you commit to God and you acknowledge God for, it's almost like a child that you dedicate to the Lord. You say, thank you, God. This child is yours. When you do your, when you give your offering to and your tithe, you're acknowledging that he's the one who gave you. I say, God, I thank you for this. It belongs to you anyway. And do you know that whatever you give to God, even your time as well, it belongs to you anyway. He then preserves it because it belongs to him, right? What belongs to him, he preserves. What belongs to him, he keeps a guard over. What belongs to him, he will send angels to preserve. When we don't show gratitude, we expose ourselves. When we are selfish, we expose ourselves to disaster. Let us read this story in Luke chapter 12 from verse 15 to 21. Maybe we'll not read everything, but maybe let's put it as a on the side for us to read in our own personal time. Well, look at the time. Luke chapter 12 from verse 15 to 21. Okay, we can read it quickly. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. In my head, I'm hearing, allow me to enjoy myself. Just let me be. I'm good. I'm profitable. But God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then verse 21 says, this is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. The person does not acknowledge God. The person does not say anything. I mean, we're saying make room for more, right? This person was trying to make room for more, but was not acknowledging where the help came from. Was not acknowledging that thing that God has given him, it was perhaps for someone. He was thinking about himself. I will do this. I will do. And that reminds me of the story of Lucifer. All he was saying was, I. But it's not only about I. God is the one who gave you those things. God is the owner of your life. When you give it to him, when you acknowledge him, it becomes his, and it is now his duty to protect it. The Bible says that he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If God is against you, this scripture was saying God told him, today your soul will be required of you. If God is against you, you have no chance of winning. Because he has never lost the battle. He's the owner of all. And we respond to him by saying, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I acknowledge you. And we receive the preservation that lies in gratitude. The last benefit of giving gratitude I have here is that there's completion. There is completion. There's completion. There's the story of the 10 lepers. That's the last scripture we'll read. Oh, second to last. It's also quite a long one, but we have time. Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. Okay, this is about Jesus. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." A lot of times when we are asking the Lord for help, when we are desperate, our voice is very loud. And he likes it when we call on him passionately. He's not going to be scared of your voice. He's not going to be scared about the volume of your noise. But can our thanksgiving also be that loud? Amen. Verse 14 says, "When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourself to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice." Can we see the ratio here? 10 of them were cleansed. Only one returned with that loud voice. "And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." 17 says, Jesus asks, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Before I complete this, I just want to emphasize the fact that God knows where he's sending his blessings. He didn't say, "Where are the 8? Where are the 7? He knew how many of them were cleansed. He knew where he dispensed. He knew your address, where he put that blessing. He says, "Where are the 9? And then verse 18 says, "Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Because he was a Samaritan. So others were Jews, maybe. And 19, to show you how well he knew them. So that particular one came back. And verse 19 says, "Then he said to them, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" When they were cleansed, were they not well? What's the difference between this well, this second one in 19? Some versions will say, "Your faith has made you whole." There was completeness. There was completeness. When you thank God for the finger of God that you see in your life, then you will see his hand. Then he will move mountains for you. You attract the blessings of the Lord, the completion of the Lord, when you give him gratitude. Amen. Can someone say, "I will be thankful"? Gratitude is my attitude. Amen. And the last 2 points I want to share here. So I said how to prepare for more acknowledge. And that just majoring on thanking the Lord. Acknowledge. A, acknowledge. B, become more. Become more. One of my bosses one time told me, I think I was not happy about being passed over for a promotion. And I believed I was working hard. And she told me, she said, "Well, just start doing the work of the level you want to get to, and it will come to you." I think that speaks to what I was saying, that if you're already wealthy in your mind, if you're already developed in your mind, if you're already a person that's prospering in your mind, it's inevitable. You will have it in your hands. So you need to become. And when she told me that, I was like, "Well, normally we are used to people giving us things, right? It will fall on your lap. They will see how good you are. And they will give it to you." But what I found out was that there was this person who was just busy doing what nobody asked him to do. He came up with an idea. He started reviewing things beyond. And he was the one that was promoted. That's the one that I was upset. Hey, he's not even doing anything. We are the ones doing the work here. But he showed a level of leadership. He had vision. He saw, okay, this is something that could, it doesn't matter if you are the one slaving, but he saw something and he's able to manage and direct. And that taught me a very, very good lesson. Some people are saying, "Oh, don't worry, you see how committed I will be when I have this." Start now, start now, start now. Start now. The person that is faithful in little will be faithful with much. That's how you become more. That's how you make room for more. When you start now becoming more, yourself, by yourself becoming more. The example I have here is also about David. David is one of my favorite scripture personalities in scripture. I have many, but anytime I'm talking about one person, I will say that person is my favorite. When I talk about Joseph, I'll say Joseph is my favorite. So today, David is my favorite. He was a person who was becoming in the desert. Nobody was seeing him when he was killing the lion and the bear. And then opportunity showed up. You can read that in 1 Samuel 17. Or if you read the whole thing, you see that he was already anointed to be king. He was anointed. The prophet came to his house. How wonderful that is. You received something. Received a word from the Lord. The prophet came out and anointed you. You received, you believed that the Lord spoke this word to you. But he still had to go to the desert. He still had to wait for that appointed time. He still had to wait for that appointed time. But guess what? He was ready. He was ready. He was ready. He saw Goliath. Nobody called him. Remember, a lot of times, those opportunities, they will not tell you. Sometimes they come, they give it to you. But a lot of times, you are the one that will see a problem and volunteer to solve the problem. I mean, I have a little example in my own life. Since I got that advice from the lady that told me, you better start doing where you want to be. an idea just came to me one day. And I'm like, okay, let's see how we can make this easy. Let's see how we can. Look at how everybody in the office was so happy about it. We even gave it an acronym. I was like, this is just like Mercy Chibo would say, you make the little things I do seem like such a big deal. You make the little things. But if I had hidden that idea, I wouldn't have gotten the recognition I got. Now, become more. When the opportunity shows up, it will be too late to start to prepare. And as we have received the word from the Lord, he says, make room for more. We have to believe it, that the Lord is bringing more our way. So how can I prepare? I'm waking up today preparing. I'm dressing prepared. In fact, I was just thinking about an example to use, and I remembered Pastor told us about one of our friends in New Jersey, how his wife, she came from England, and she got recognition for a job. I'm not sure the full story, but you know what made the person, the boss at that time, accept her was because of her dressing. I think she was volunteering or she was interning in the place. She wasn't of anything, but she was dressing the part. She was dressing like someone who had something. I'm not saying go and buy what you don't have. I'm just saying that even the little you have, you can come correct in it. You can come good in it. You can come the way you speak, the way you accord people with respect. Those things, they are the things that people will see. And of course, the favor of God is upon us, right? Someone else may do it and not see any result. But because we are children of God, we'll do it and we'll get results. That is the Lord making room for you. Amen? So as you become more, you attract more. Take on more than is assigned to you. Don't say, oh, they didn't call me. I didn't do this. Take on more. As you solve those problems, as you go over and beyond, the Lord who sees you, he will reward you openly. So we said, acknowledge God in gratitude. B, become more. C, create room. Create room. Create room. Do away with the old. Do away with the bad. Let those things be diminished and erased from our lives. I mean, we're getting into spring now. Praise the Lord. There's something they call spring cleaning. Do away with those old things. Make room for more. And this is the last scripture I'll read to us in Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54 from verse 1 to 3. It says, sing, O barren. Isaiah 54, okay? Isaiah 54, 1 to 3. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy. You who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. It was God that said this. Then he says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide, wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Only one person said amen. Amen. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. That beginning, the beginning of the verse we read in Isaiah 54, there was barrenness. There was null and void. There was something not happening. But the admonition there was sing. Then enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch. How mad will that person seem like? Remember when Noah was building the ark and the Lord said it will rain? It may seem foolish when you're planning. When you already started, you started drawing that plan. It may seem like nothing has happened. I don't even have my clients yet. Right? I don't even have, I'm already rehearsing how I will give my testimony. It has not happened yet, but scripture says enlarge the place of your tent. Sometimes also, can I say that the stretch is not comfortable? The enlargement is not as easy as it sounds. How easy will it be to tell a barren woman to sing and tell her that she has more children than the one that has a husband? Can you see the mystery of praise and thanksgiving here? I don't know how God does it. But that's the miracle working God that we serve. He wants us to look to him, even when it seems tight. He wants us, God can give you a song in the night. Isaiah 30:29. God can give you a song in the night. You can sing of his faithfulness. You can sing that he is too faithful to fail you. You can sing, you can look to him. That is also creating room. That is also creating room. Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. When you make room for him, you make room for all that he also brings as well. There are some people, when you create room for them, when you host them, you know they don't come alone. They come. They are, when I was younger, I used to be happy. Certain people come to visit my dad because I know they'll say, oh, yeah, they'll say, oh, you're little. Then they'll give you something. Even though I may not like the process of cooking for them, taking care of them, but when they are satisfied, you know, they're slaving in the kitchen. You know, but then when you're leaving, some of them as God is so merciful, I don't remember anybody in my head right now. But I do know that there are some people that even after eating, all they can say is, God bless you. See you later. But there are certain people, when you welcome them, they don't come empty-handed. You prepare a table for them. They are happy. Even sometimes, it may not have anything there, but because of the way they say, you've grown so much. How is school? You did this. What did you? They say, okay, don't worry. I'll buy something for you. They will be true to their word. They will say, so it seemed like the labor to host them was not bad after all. That's what we do when we host God, when we celebrate him, when we clear and make room for him. We make room for him and everything he brings. The Bible says in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Marital pleasures, financial pleasures, career pleasures, relationship pleasure. Everything that is good for you. Because that's what pleasure is, that you enjoy it. Everything that you need to have a good life, he comes with it. And so at this time, I just want us to, you know, ask ourselves, what are my growth goals? What area am I going to grow in this year? It's still a new year, technically. We're still in the first quarter. We can make adjustments. I want us to ask ourselves, how are we going to grow? How am I going to grow spiritually? What is my plan to grow spiritually? What is my plan to be a blessing? Because we cry out and ask the Lord to bless us, but do we cry out that much? I say, Lord, let me be a blessing to my generation. I must be a blessing to my generation. I must bless. Do we do that? The way we're asking the Lord to bless us. You know, it takes someone who has grown to pray that way as well, that I want to be a blessing. That is the Abrahamic covenant that we have. I will bless you. You will take over and I will be a blessing. I will be a blessing. Can we just make that a prayer? Lord God, you have said we should make room for more. You have said we should make room for more. I'm starting today with gratitude. I will be blessed and I will be a blessing. I will be a blessing. The same way I prayed for your help is the same way I will cry out in thanksgiving to you, because you are worthy of it all, oh God.